This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
I think we're ready to have our top 10 quarterback argument.
I've got my top 10.
I do too. I'm going with Patrick Mahomes number one.
Greatness.
I got Lamar Jackson number two. I got Josh Allen number three. I got Joe Burrow number four.
All right.
I got Jared Goff at number five, followed by Matthew Stafford and Jaden Daniels based on this year. I'm putting Baker Mayfield at number eight, and I got number nine is Jalen Hurts, followed by Justin Herbert. That's my top 10.
You like it?
I like it.
I'm going based on this year. Based on this year, Josh Allen number one, Lamar Jackson number two, Joe Burrow number three, Mahomes number four.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Herbert number five.
You know what? You just made the list.
Oh, no.
All right, here we go.
Goff six, Jaden Daniels seven, CJ Stroud eight, Jalen Hurts nine, Matthew Stafford 10.
You like it? I don't like it.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
I got a list for you, all right. You're on it.
I got this for you.
Oh,
hey. There's that bad blood.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It's a glorious, wondrous day in the fine city of Chicago. It's hump day. We're nearing the end of February. The weather's broken. Come on, David. Come on.
Morning, Molly. Yeah. Happy Wednesday. Two more days left this month. It feels like it's spring already. Certainly, the season can't get here soon enough for the Cubs.
Wow.
Because they have yet to lose out in Arizona. The White Sox, on the other hand, have yet to win.
We pointed that out. As we, they lost late last night. Did you stay up for it?
No. The Hawks lost late last night. The Sox had already lost.
They lost. Didn't they play fairly late? They played, who'd they play? They played them pretty late.
Gave up a lot of runs.
They did. That's
Gave up
they
a lot
do.
Of runs. 14-3 to the Rockies. How about that Rockies. Chris Bryant home run swing? How about that KB going deep?
Who?
KB. Yes. No. 10 years ago, Chris Bryant was about to embark on a Rookie of the Year season, followed by an MVP season. And we thought that, wow, this guy's headed to great places. Yeah. Well, that was the talk.
It was.
I wonder how many games he plays this year. I wonder how many at-bats he has. But he looked good yesterday. 14-3. Sox lose. Tough one. Sorry, pal.
Let's get back to those Blackhawks. What happened there?
That was not pretty. It was not pretty. They gave up their 1-1. They gave up a third period goal. They lose 2-1. That's a tough slog.
They moved Bertuzzi and Frankie Nazar onto the Bedard line. I'm paying attention, pal.
Frankie Nazar, yes, you are. You like Frankie Nazar. You've liked since he came up from Michigan. I think it's a Michigan thing, but there's a lot to like there. He flies around. He's one of the bright spots. There aren't many as the season kind of grinds to a screeching halt as we near the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, the trade deadline's not going to get them well. I don't know what's going to get them well. I would caution Kyle Davidson to be aware that things are definitely going the wrong way. There's no shadow of a doubt that the Blackhawks, when your great young player is no longer great, still young, but catching a lot of heat kind of throughout the league for being just a one-dimensional player. Not good. Not good.
Bedard's taking on a lot of the burden, and people are looking at him and wondering if he has stagnated a little bit. That's not a good thing to be asking in season two.
And that's not his fault, in my opinion. I don't know that he's gotten enough help, and I don't know that that they've done the right things around him, period.
I'm not going to be bothered.
We would agree on that. Mm-hmm. We would agree on that. And meanwhile, they are waiting for these young players to develop, guys like Artie the Party, the number two overall pick, got suspended for a bad incident the other night, although it was understandable, I guess, to some hockey people. How about this, real quick before we move on from this?
Mm-hmm.
They have a prospect, Nick Lardis, in the OHL.
Okay.
That has 60 goals in like 50. He came into, he has 60 goals in 50 games.
It's like your guy, Alex Ovechkin.
Well,
okay. Only he's a little bit smaller.
Nick Lardis has 60 goals in 55 games. No, Ovechkin in the NHL scored a goal last night to cut down. He needs 12 now to catch Gretzky, and it was his 1930 goal season. 1930 goal seasons for Alex Ovechkin.
That's pretty good.
Even if you don't like the guy, you got to respect that a little bit.
Well, I don't know if it's him you don't like, or maybe his benefactor, right?
Well, I don't think you have to be. I think you can like Ovechkin and respect what he's doing without going anywhere near Putin.
Do you go vote at the United Nations on that?
No, I don't. How about Ben Johnson yesterday?
Will Putin be in America to witness the chase? Will
no.
He follow, will he follow this around? No.
Wow. I hadn't considered that. I would hope not. But it's somewhat remarkable that, Putin or not, Ovechkin had a hat trick over the weekend and scored another goal last night, and now he's within 12. He's going to get the record.
But he might get it this year.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Right,
okay. He's got 12 he's got 24 games to get 12 goals.
So
that's well within his reach.
This is a fun watch off of Four Nations. Like, this should get sports fans interested in hockey. It's a nice little parlay.
Mm-hmm.
Four Nations and now the Ovechkin chase. That's a reason to watch. It's a reason for Blackhawk fans to stay tuned in.
To Mully's point, though, it's hard to ignore the fact that you get a little excited about hockey and then you look at the Hawks and like, okay, we're ready now.
Yeah.
We're ready for this to happen.
We're ready for your close-up.
Yes. Yeah. Look away.
Yeah.
Look away.
It's too bad. It really is. If they had any kind of momentum, if they had any kind of hope, now would be the time to kind of flex a muscle or two, but it's not happening.
No, it's not going to happen this season. You just hope that they can finish strong and go into free agency, be aggressive, and have a summer that gives you a little bit of reason to pay attention next year.
When will Connor Bedard have his first 30-goal season?
Boy, that hurts. That hurts because it should be an obvious answer. It should be this season. But
how many goals does Celebrini have? Just out of curiosity.
I don't know. I don't know that off the top of my head.
Not 30.
No, but he's, you know, the Macklin Celebrini comparison is going to be inevitable throughout their careers, both taken at the top of the draft. Celebrini kind of out in San Jose.
Little 18.
That's pretty good.
Celebrini is 18.
Can he get to 30? 21st.
Bedard has 22. He could possibly get to 30.
Well, there you go.
This year.
That'd be Dustin. Something. That's something they should make happen.
It's not that easy.
I mean, Ove could do it.
It's not that easy. They're not scoring goals in bunches. The score has learned.
Well, I mean, get him the puck. Just tell him he's the only guy who shoots.
All right. That's our hockey talk.
That's it. That's all we that's got. I was fading out after I thought I was doing well by following Bertuzzi being moved on.
I'm very
line.
Impressed.
Yeah, no, I'm paying attention.
No, I think that it's good to pay attention. It's fun. I like watching hockey. But
yeah, but it's disappointing.
It can be.
To lose to Utah, of all teams. I mean, that's a bad team.
Hawks need a little bit of a culture infusion of leadership and more talent. No, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I think in that dressing room though, they need some guys who want to be there.
Yeah, he's the coach anyway. It was fire someone, right?
I didn't say fire anybody.
How sweet it would be if you finally made a move. Oh no, they did that earlier.
No, they did that.
Just they didn't get that fired coach jump that they were hoping for.
No, they did not.
Yeah, so the Bears were meeting the media down in Indy, and they were doing the rounds. And I mean, I got to tell you, I saw more content featuring Ben Johnson than anybody else. I mean, he was literally on kind of every show I was watching.
Making the rounds.
It was incredible and how often I heard him yesterday.
Really sounding bright, energetic.
No doubt.
Relatable. He had some good ideas. He had some good insight. He made some comparisons to Lions players and Bears players, Darnell Wright to Penei Sewell. Wow.
That's not a close comparison.
I know, but you like
score has learned.
Wow. I thought the updates on Braxton Jones were interesting. The comparisons to the Panthers we'll talk about. There was a lot there to feel encouraged. Again, if you're a Bears fan looking for reasons to believe in the new coach that you're just still getting to know.
Yeah. I thought he really made some good points all the way around. I'm very impressed with how easily he can speak about football, and I think that just is because he is a very bright guy who can speak extemporaneously and make a lot of sense and doesn't need a ton of notes and doesn't need to. He just impresses you everywhere.
He does.
No matter where the venue.
He seems like such a willing participant in conversations.
Well, he's not going to trip over his own words, and he's not going to reveal too much. And he's a bright guy.
Yeah. That really comes through.
Yeah.
It really comes through. And it is just, not just, but it is perception affecting your reality because you're watching. He's creating this perception that he knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
So the reality is, you wake up feeling better about the Bears.
Yes, that's
and the direction they're headed. So it was the Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles show, and I think in that order, just because Ryan Poles, we've heard a lot of what he had to say and how he said it. Not a guy that necessarily look. It doesn't matter, but his style is his style. Ben Johnson talks, and you're like, okay, tell me more. Tell me more about that. Who else do you want to talk about?
See, that is the thing, is it didn't matter where he was at. If you asked him a question, he gave you an original answer. So there was a little bit of different information on some of the – he wasn't one of these guys. And this is something to look for in sports that tells the same story to everybody.
You can't tune him out.
Yeah. He was really good.
But elaborate there to go full Matas on you. Because we do know guys like that. We have heard guys like that. They have an A game. And they use the same A story or the example or reference time and time and time again. And it becomes repetitive and you start to tune them out. Now, that's just a little thing, but it is interesting that you picked up on that because I thought the same thing listening to Ben Johnson. Everything seems authentic.
I'll give you an example. He was asked about and talked about Caleb Williams at every turn, and he said nice things about him. But when he was on the NFL Network, he mentioned a funny story, which is that on the day of the Super Bowl, let's take a listen.
Man, I tell you what, he's hungry. I'm trying to watched the Super Bowl with my family. I made it back to Detroit just for a weekend, and I'm watching this, and my phone just keeps buzzing, and it's Caleb time and time again. You know, what's going on here? What do we think? Oh, that was a cool play. Things like that. And so it's I just know this is a hungry individual that he's ready to get this career started of his, because he's got a chance to be pretty darn special.
So there's a couple of little points in there that I thought were really interesting.
Okay.
One, Caleb's getting ready to get his career started because his career is starting now. Oh. Whatever, we're going to give him a pass on whatever nonsense happened last year because of the circumstances. But
the rookie throwaway year.
He didn't tell every stop that Caleb was texting him on Super Bowl day. He just told that story because he was asked specifically about, you know, how into it he is. It was, I thought, very interesting the way that he talked about Caleb wants to be great, and Caleb wants this and that. And he was consistent in the messaging, but it was a different story than he had told early. It wasn't like him, let me tell you this. Oh, I remember the time. That's how people handle stuff like that.
That's
when
confidence.
They don't have a brain.
That's confidence, though. That's total confidence in yourself as a communicator. So you don't have to necessarily, you're prepared, but you're not rehearsed.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Ben Johnson is always going to be prepared for whatever topic you throw at him, but he doesn't have to sound rehearsed, because that makes you sound like you are afraid of being impromptu or afraid of improvising. And that's a great trait to have as a head coach. You're not afraid of anything. You're able to take on whatever it is thrown in your way. There are a couple things about that made me smile. Number one, hearing Caleb locked into the Super Bowl, like a lot of guys don't want to admit that they're watching the game, but Caleb apparently was and texting his coach. The other thing that made me kind of grin was that you're watching the NFL Network.
And
you can watch the NFL Network.
I think I was listening to it. I may have heard that in my travels.
Sorry.
So you don't have to be.
I'm just saying.
But
I love that you watch the NFL Network.
I do watch the NFL Network. I do. And I have the NFL Network.
But also bragging that he's got NFL Network radio in his car.
Was that a brag? Bragger. Was that a humble brag?
We were talking about you were jealous that I had a washing machine for a couple more days.
I still am.
Right, you're still waiting.
Today's the big day, right? That's exactly right. I've got an hour already.
Did you guys like a spreadsheet?
My wife
is handling
it.
What's your hour, Mullen?
See, this
when I know not to contact you today.
Do you want my dilemma or my hour? Because I got both.
Well, let's hear both.
Do you have a story for every, like Ben Johnson, a different story for depending on the question?
Yeah, depending on the question, but he brought it up.
Okay.
The reality is that my clothes were in the washer when it died. So I have clothes that are half washed that would really appreciate another run. But that probably won't come till tomorrow, because I have to get the clothes that I want done and need done. I got to prioritize.
Half washed is better than not washed.
Half washed will be fully washed tomorrow.
You throw them in the dryer, Mully, they smell fresh as ever.
No, David.
I don't know about that.
One of the problems was there was no water coming into it.
Okay.
So I have clothes that have spun around in detergent.
All right, well, maybe.
That's not as good as you'd hope.
All right, well, a little air drying.
I can't put it on. I'd be like, ugh.
Right. Well,
I really should have offered. You could have bagged it, and I would have happily have.
They have laundromats.
He said not by him. He doesn't know where
you can find one.
The one by me closed.
I'll give you some quarters.
Some dry cleaners do laundry by the pound.
Oh, that's probably very cheap.
Depending where you're at.
Well, look at how Dustin lives. I must stop at the dry cleaners.
Could you fold my jeans, please?
My underwear needs a double dose.
Could you crease my t-shirts?
You didn't iron my wares.
That's very funny, though. I mean, you guys have traveled way more than I have, but at one point when I did do national radio, I did travel quite a bit. And one time we had an emergency like week where we had to go down to Atlanta. So we were with CNNSI, those guys,
and you needed
doing network radio. I had just been in Vegas for like a 4-day bachelor party, and they sent my clothes to... From Vegas, I never got my bag. They moved my bag right down to Atlanta. So when I got down there, again, we weren't going to find laundromats. We were staying at a pretty nice Marriott. I got everything done by the cleaner.
By the dry cleaner.
And the socks were on pins hanging from and hanger.
Your socks?
My socks were ironed, my drawer, everything was. I didn't ask, I just asked it to be laundered, and everything came back, not only laundered, but pressed. Oh, and the socks were hanging one by one on a by.
Why pins. Would you just ball them up? Why?
Ask Marriott. I don't know. That's how they send it back to me.
Iron socks. Why would you iron socks?
If you're Dustin Rhodes, you want your socks ironed.
Fancy man. Fancy man having his socks ironed. I've never ironed socks. I love to iron. Never ironed socks.
What kind of a comment is that? You should take an iron to the south side and iron some socks.
I love ironing.
Because their
you don't
whole
love ironing?
Thing has gotten wrinkled.
Who
I love ironing.
Ironing.
I do.
I love ironing.
I do too.
I do. It's very relaxing. It's very satisfying.
I'll tell you
what. Put a crease in your shirt. There's nothing like it.
I hate if someone puts the wrong thing in a bottle instead of you think you got water and you're spraying something.
Yeah, starch?
You ever see stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had one where I had this, I forget the name of this stuff. It gets stains out. Someone had used bleach in the thing.
Well, that's going to be a problem.
And let me tell you, it got the stains out. It got the color out of the shirt. Yeah. It got everything
and
out.
And you had to throw it out.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I don't run into that problem. I kind of know what I'm putting into my iron.
Yeah.
Keep control of that. Have temperature control and boom, there
David,
you go.
David, I've got a bag at home I could bring if you've got some downtime.
I think you'd be impressed with my ironing.
Television, you could do some ironing.
I think, I think you'd like, you'd be satisfied. I enjoy that.
I was doing some stuff for a local network, and I was down at the Super Bowl, and I was just going to do a quick hit and then go out to a party with Dan Pompey that night, and he came by the room and knocked on the door, and I opened the door, and he's like, are you ironing clothes? Like, he was stunned.
Aghast.
That I would actually iron my shirt. Mm-hmm. And then he kept commenting to me, your shirt looks pretty good. You can tell.
See?
And I'm just like, do I walk around like a bum? Is that what I'm learning? Do I never iron a shirt?
No, you need to learn. You need to teach your kids a couple things before they go off to college. How to change a tire, how to iron their clothes.
Well.
Among other things.
I give them the tour. I bring them over to where the booze is. And I'm just like, okay, the dark ones stay away from. The light ones are probably worse. You want beer and nothing else, okay? If you go to a party and there's punch there, don't ever indulge.
That's cute, but they're probably like, yeah, thanks, Dad, we already know.
Yeah, let me just wake up. As long as I'm over here, let me make a quick whiskey sour. Yeah,
exactly. Thanks for showing me where you're hiding it this week.
No. Yeah. But I just think you have to have a booze talk and tell them what happens.
Of course.
When you overindulge.
It's among the other things.
And the real danger is the poison stuff.
Changing the tire and learning how to iron are among other things. I should point at that.
As Dustin will tell you from Vegas, if you stick to the beer, the worst thing that happens is you throw up and then you got to get your clothes washed when you hit Atlanta. The danger would be mixing drinks. That'll get you really
done. Can you imagine, though?
Depends.
So this is again, I think we might have had pagers at this point, but no cell phones when this incident happened. I am a best man of a 56 guy bachelor party. 56.
Oh, what? That's absurd.
56 guys at a bachelor party?
56 guys in Vegas. So we were Sunday and we golfed. So about 40 guys golfed. So now I'm checking everybody's bags at the curb at the airport. Checking everybody's bags. Get on the plane. Now you land and security wants you to come to the security desk after you just checked 56 guys' bags coming home from Las Vegas on a bachelor party. I wasn't thinking that my stuff was being forwarded to Atlanta because I was now going to Atlanta.
Were you invited to this bachelor party or employed?
Exactly.
Sound like you were doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Yeah. Couple dinners, couple golf outings.
That's a big bachelor party. That sounds really dangerous.
It's a lot of friends.
So that's why I was a little nervous when I got that page once we landed.
I couldn't give 56 people
please
to
come
show
to security.
Up at a party.
That's friends of friends.
That's friends of friends.
That's like a guy bringing five guys to a bachelor party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that's a lot of guests to book.
Yeah. That's a lot of people to try to look out for. I mean, you're lucky you were no stragglers. Especially in that sort of an event. I don't know how young you were, but yeah, be careful.
Well, we digress. But
We got to get
yesterday was quite a day. Sox lose, Cubs won, Cubs undefeated. Sammy Sosa made an appearance in the dugout. We'll hear from him later. his presence is going to be one Cubs fans should get used to now. He's back.
You know, is this a question for a pick six tomorrow? But are you concerned at all that the White Sox being winless, and not just winless, but getting rocked pretty good, does that speak volumes to you about the pitching? Are you concerned that they don't have a starting pitching staff that can hold up for a major league season?
We got time to talk about that today.
Because they had Crochet came through last year, Eric Fetty. Some of the guys that did okay last year aren't here anymore. And they're relying on young players. And we're going to see, is today the day we see the unveiling of the strong-armed lefties?
Hagen Smith and Noah Schultz
are both
against
pitch.
The Padres.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's an event.
That's an event. And that'll be fun, but it's a little early.
We'll reserve some time, a segment later, to talk about White Sox pitching. Because I think we can get to that today.
I think that's just an – I think the one's related to the other. And I don't know if that spells potentially – worst season than last year.
I think you're asking that question because you're afraid the Sox might not win this spring.
I mean, at all.
At all.
The Cubs look like they're never going to lose, Sox look the exact opposite.
I hear you.
Never going to win.
I hear you.
All right, we'll get to all of it. We got a lot of good stuff. The pick six, Mully and Haw on the score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw.
where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Who had the better news conference in Indianapolis yesterday? GM Ryan Poles or new head coach Ben Johnson, who seemed more comfortable? And which guy offered the best information?
Well, I think it was a landslide win. I think that all precincts have reported, and Ben Johnson is the overall winner of the news conferences. He is the man with the vision, and he was able to express it pretty simply. Said nice things about everyone. Said great things about Ryan Poles, among others. But he was definitely the guy in charge. I think if you were taking notes, you would have to agree that Ben Johnson is the man with the plan, and he is the front man of the organization now. And it's not meant as an insult or anything, but I don't know how many other interviews were requested of Ryan Poles. I don't know that he did the rounds through the combine in the same fashion in which Ben Johnson did. He was one of the big gets on that day. Not the Chris gets, but a big get for every show and every...
I think Poles did Florio.
Yeah.
He did Pro
okay.
Football Talk.
God bless him. But I'm saying... Everybody wanted a piece of Ben Johnson. That's all. I think he was one of the more popular coaches. When guys are, there are certain coaches that everybody wants to get a chance with. And it's kind of interesting to listen to. I heard a lot of different interviews because I was in the car, in and out of the car. And I was at home watching the NFL Network. You'd be proud of me. And it was good. It was good. They had a lot of different people. But definitely Ben Johnson made the tour.
Well, it's funny, we're asking questions, obviously, in the Pick Six, but I asked this question to you guys this morning when we got together in between the break during the pregame show. So is it Poles and Johnson, or is it now Johnson and Poles? And I think it's now Johnson and Poles. See, there's still a honeymoon period going on here with Ben Johnson. We like hearing what he has to say. We're not questioning, oh, yeah, right. But remember a year ago when you said this, that's where we're kind of at with Ryan Poles. Like, you know, we question Ryan Poles. We have doubts about Ryan Poles. Right now, it's all happy and good with Ben Johnson, as it should be. He was great yesterday. Sounded like a regular guy. Mully, to your point, gave fresh takes in the different areas. Yeah, the questions are the questions. What are you doing with the offensive line? How do you get Caleb better? Yep. You're an offensive guy. Why did you pick Dennis Allen? I mean, it's the same general six or seven questions. But he offered different anecdotes and things. He gets it. He really and he came kind of pre-advertised as somebody. Well, one of the biggest things we don't know about this guy is, can he work the room? Can he handle being in front of the class? He clearly can own the room without a shadow of a doubt.
What a misconception that was, because Ben Johnson came across yesterday, and in every time that we have seen him, he's so relatable. He's like the high school math teacher on parent teacher night that keeps just talking to you about your kid. You're like, oh yeah, how did you know that? How did you know that? Great example. And he just keeps impressing you the longer he talks. And I think Ryan Poles, no, it's just different personality types. That's just the way it is. So in terms of yesterday, it wasn't even close in terms of who you were more impressed by. But I think the specific things, it was as much substance as style.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson told you his plan for Caleb. He talked about the commitment to the running game. He talked about overhauling the offensive line. He talked about being on the same page defensively.
That was
with
great.
Dennis Allen.
That was great.
Because of their view of what pass pressure does to a quarterback.
Yes.
And I think everything that you heard, it was like, oh yeah, oh yeah, he's in a, oh wow. So definitely this was a moment for Ben Johnson to look back at and say, it wasn't just winning the introductory press conference. He now has made a statement league-wide that he knows what he's doing and the Bears are in good hands.
That's a great question.
With your three interior linemen headed to the open market, Tevin Jenkins, Matt Pryor, and Coleman Shelton, did you like hearing new Bears head coach Ben Johnson's reference how the Panthers rebuilt their line? Panthers gave Robert Hunt a 5-year, $100 million deal, added Damian Lewis, 4 years, $53 million. Those numbers, counting inflation, be around what you would give the Chiefs guard Trey Smith and the Falcons center Drew Dalman, what they could command.
I think it's been done before, right? I mean, I think there's a number of teams that did that last year. The Panthers come to mind when they went out in free agency and got a couple top guards and really changed the dynamic of their offense. And you saw them clicking there in the second half of the season once they started to really gel. So there's no question that you can change the dynamic of a room just like that.
So do you like that plan that Ben Johnson laid out?
Just like that, yes, because it's not an accident that he put that out there. There was nothing unintentional about what you heard. And that's a $150 million investment he's referencing.
Yeah.
So the team with $78 million of cap space sounds like they're going to be intentional about their free agency and aggressive because, you know what? They have a clear vision. And I think I heard somebody say yesterday, one of the more memorable things that Ryan Poles did say was that when you have clarity, you can be more aggressive. When you have a clear vision, it allows you to be more specific, maybe in your approach. Specifically, the Bears are going to be approaching free agent offensive linemen. And those are two guys at the top of their list, presumably, or they should be. But if this is going according to a plan that we think is sounds like is rooted in common sense tells you you start with a guard and a center. Dalman and Smith would be a great beginning to the Ben Johnson era. Don't know if it's realistic. We'll get to that in a moment. Mm-hmm. But this was excellent to hear. I know people will say, they'll scoff, it's the Panthers. Oh my gosh, why would you want to copy the Panthers? It's not copying the Panthers. It's copying the approach to free agency, which is being willing to invest $150 million to revamp your offensive line.
This is a great, great analogy. I love it. You know, we talk about the NFL being a copycat business all the time. So there's a blueprint out there. Now the key is go out and execute it. They've got the money to do it. And as we talked about yesterday, and we'll continue to talk about, is free agency could have a massive effect on what you're doing as far as the NFL draft. So this is what's so exciting about the next 6 or so weeks coming up for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, this is a vision. This is a plan. This is something that did get Carolina better from 1 year to the next. Again, you know, you're not looking to kind of copy anyone else's game plan, but it's been done is the point. And, you know, whether you you end up with, you know, Mekhi Becton instead of Will Smith or whether there's another center, I haven't looked at the center market very closely, whatever it is, this gives you a hint of what they have to get done. As we mentioned, they got three guys that are heading to unrestricted free agency, and they're three guys that started last year. And I don't know. If I were pushed, I might be willing to bring back Matt Pryor as a backup. You see what I'm saying? Like a reserve guy, because he's a guy you know can play, and you feel good about that. But I don't know that I would be convinced into saying Tevin Jenkins. I know he's a good player when he's available, but the available thing would really make me hesitate from bringing him back, even as a backup, even if he doesn't get a lot of looks. It would have to be a team-friendly deal. I think that you could see them splashing on a couple of players that don't look like splashes, but improving their team pretty significantly. I think they have to do it. I think they know they have to do it, and that's why he has the example at his fingertips.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs, Biggs Time, 7 a.m. David, you referenced in a moment. Well, that moment is now. Chiefs GM Brett Veach sounded optimistic the team could keep guard Trey Smith.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously at the top of the list, and we've already had some good dialogue with him and with CAA and Tori and Jimmy and his crew. So obviously a lot to work through, but I mean, this is the time of the year to do that. And again, we've already had some initial dialogue, and that will continue on this week and in the days to come leading up before free agency. So we'll certainly do do what we can and feel, you know, pretty optimistic about our possibilities there.
What did you just hear?
I heard a certain amount of uncertainty, to be honest with you. I don't think I heard this kind of flat out, we're going to plant our flag and Trey Smith's here forever. I think they got hard decisions themselves. I think they got to get better on the offensive line. And how do you get better on the offensive line if you lose one of your best offensive linemen? They just have a more desperate need at a more important position. So I heard that they're going to try. I heard that they're I don't know enough of Brett Veach. I don't know if that's how he talks, but I did not hear the sort of assurance that I would want to hear if I were a Chiefs fan. I think it was kind of what you say before you lose a guy as much as it is what you say before you tag a guy.
I agree. It was a little bit cloudy for sure, but I did the first thing you heard. He's at the top of the list. So he did say top of the list. But everything after that was giving reasons why it was possible it couldn't happen. I wonder also what the Travis Kelce sounds like. Travis Kelce is coming back. Obviously, Travis Kelce makes a couple of bucks. And maybe that's not something that they were hoping. Maybe they were hoping Travis Kelce walked away, even though he's probably going to go down as the or one of the top three greatest tight ends to ever play this game. Maybe they were done with him.
It's a good point, Dustin. You know that situation all too well. I think that when you look at...
There's a very...
What did I miss?
That was a Taylor Swift reference that was well played.
When you look at Brett Veach and you hear what he said, I heard, as the question asked, I heard a general manager covering himself with his fan base when you have to ultimately say goodbye to a guy you can't afford or you don't want to pay. And I think they want to pay Trey Smith, but the real statement by Brett Veach would be tagging Trey Smith.
Exactly.
You want to remove doubt, then you place a transition tag on him, you place a franchise tag on him, and you don't let him out of your building and out of your organization. What you heard yesterday to me was, as Molly, as you point out, is like, this is a guy who's preparing and bracing for, after that opening statement, the end of the Trey Smith era in Kansas City or his time with the Chiefs, which I think is good news for the Bears. If you let him hit the open market, which I think any 25, 26-year-old professional athlete will be persuaded to do by his representation, if they don't tag him, then that is an invitation for the Bears to be as aggressive as Ben Johnson suggested they would be in revamping and rebuilding their offensive line. So I wouldn't get caught up in Brett Veach sounding optimistic or committed to signing and retaining Trey Smith. Easier said than done.
That's one of those questions. You know how hard that is to answer.
That is the voice of Dan Weider. He'll be here to answer questions at 9 with Mully and Hall. Rush end and possible number one overall pick, Abdul Carter, won't run at the combine. Quarterback Shedeur Sanders won't throw. Does any of it matter? Is the answer if the answer is no. Why do so many teams make so much about this week in Indy?
I think it's more the way this has evolved. It seems like it's almost more for the second to fifth rounders or the guys who are going to comprise the bulk of the draft than it might be for the first round talent and certainly the quarterbacks. Last year, a lot of the top quarterbacks didn't throw. Caleb Williams did not. You show up for the medicals, as we know. You show up for the interviews, which can be impactful, but I think maybe overrated sometimes. We don't hear as much about the Wonderlic anymore because that used to be a purpose that was served at Combine Week, which isn't necessarily the case anymore.
Until they all got the answers.
Until they all got the answers and the cheat code. So I really wonder, and I do think that this, I don't want to say it's overcovered, but I do think that it's covered in a way that makes you, it almost, to get anything that interesting or new, you've got to go deep into the weeds because you know that Shedeur Sanders isn't going to throw. Man, what's Cam Ward doing? I don't know. He'll start throwing and then he'll stop halfway through. What's he going to do this week? The Abdul Carter, I was looking forward to seeing what numbers he would put up in terms of speed and explosiveness, but I understand why he would wait till the pro day. The pro days are what this is all about. And so I don't know that this week in Indy is as important to the top guys as it used to be because they now are orchestrating their own pre-draft process.
All right, I'm going to push back. This is not a big surprise. I do think you're right that it's become more about your third and fourth and fifth and second and third day guys. There's no doubt. It's a place where you can do all your scouting. Really, it's about the interviews. It's about sitting down, getting in the room, looking a guy in the eyes. Especially some of the guys maybe that have a couple of check marks, like what kind of shape have these guys gotten themselves in the biggest job ahead of the biggest job interview in their life? But here's my problem with these pro days. Like, as much as I like to buy into conspiracy theories, the NFL is not fixed. Okay, the WWF, sorry if I'm, those are staged. Like, there's a storyline. There, you do this, I'll do that, then you do this, then I'll jump on too. Okay, like, it's not perfect. The NFL is not perfect. So I hate that, I'm falling in love with this guy because of what he did on his pro day. The pro day is all orchestrated. They're working, they're following a script. They've got receivers and backs and everybody doing things. They're getting the ball spun back to them. They're on their home turf. They're where they practiced all the time. It's temperature controlled. That's not the NFL. So I just don't fall in love with a guy based on what he did. I want to see offensive linemen do 225. Oh, I'm going to wait to do that. Sit down and lift the weights. Okay? Give me a break.
Okay, so this is an interesting question. It's mainly about quarterbacks. It is quarterbacks because of the amount of money they make and how high and how overdrafted they tend to be because everybody needs them and there's a shortage. Those are the players that decline to really participate in the combine. Those are the players that want all the things you're talking about, Dustin, being in the comfort of their home stadium, being familiar with their surroundings, having their receivers catch for them. They want to put on the best show they can because if you're halfway decent, you're getting drafted, and if you're getting drafted, you're eventually going to get paid. Usually, when you talk about the great athletes, they want to take part in the combine because they want to show off. They want to, if you have 4.3 speed, 4.21, what did Xavier Worthy run last year?
That was it.
You're a first round draft pick.
He ran his way into the first round.
No question. Guys can do that. And it is like the great athletes love to do that. What's interesting about this question is we're including Abdul Carter. He is not partaking in this because he has an injured AC joint in his left shoulder. Abdul Carter would run an incredible time. He would be able to lift a house over his head. He's meant to be super strong in the weight room. That's his reputation. I'm sure he can do some damage to 225 at the combine. But because of his shoulder, he's trying to, this is a guy that could be the first defensive player, if not the first player taken in the draft. Although maybe Travis Hunter can improve the way you think of him, if he decides to work out.
We should
out
talk
here.
About that later,
that,
too.
That's a very good and interesting one. I think that this is more about the quarterbacks than anything else. And I know plenty of NFL people who have been saying, literally for 30 years to me, that if they had a chance, they would love to draft someone that worked out over someone that didn't. They don't have the chance. These are the players, the mystery, the uncertainty. These are the guys, the quarterbacks. It's all about that position. There are other guys. I always suspect if you don't work out at the combine, then you have a fear that something you do isn't going to turn out right. So you want to wait for your day at your college or the nearest college, whatever it might be, like you're saying, Dustin. Better circumstance.
Terrific question. Need to get that answer. Don't have it for you today.
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. We're going to talk some Cubs with him today. Another day, another W for the Cubs in spring training. What were your thoughts seeing Sammy Sosa in full uniform mixing with the players in the dugout for the first time since 2004?
Yeah, Sammy's back. He really is, and his apology was enough. And let's not mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away from it. Away with it. That's from Fawlty Towers, where they have German guests coming to the hotel. At any rate, don't mention steroids. Don't mention the past. Don't mention anything. Sammy's back. Everyone, let's celebrate. Let's get Dustin bowing. Let's not worry about how he got to the numbers he performed. Those are his numbers, and that's all that matters.
Only player in the history of baseball to hit 60 home runs and 60 home runs or more in three consecutive seasons.
How did he do that?
I was surprised. I did not see that coming. I didn't think, I didn't hear, I didn't know that Sosa was going to be out at spring training. And so he really is back. This was not just a way to sell a couple of extra tickets to CubsCon. Right, because some people thought that kind of CubsCon, you know, not a huge buzz this year. And okay, I'll cave in. We'll sell a couple extra ducats. We'll get Sammy Sosa in here, and then he'd go back down to Miami. And then the next time we'd see Sammy was when they do something to honor him. One afternoon at Wrigley, you know, late when it's already football season, and depending on what the Cubs' record is, they're in the second row or the cry room because the Bears are in the front row of the church.
Right. We remember Sammy Sosa enough to be cynical about seeing him and maybe even skeptical if you want to do that. And that's great and fine because everyone's entitled to the reaction to seeing Sammy and after being away for 21 years. But when you see him talking to Kevin Alcantara, for instance, and then you see him talking to other guys, Alcantara's not going to be 23 years old until July. They don't remember. They didn't live through that. They know Sammy is the guy that hit 60 home runs and the guy that is now, you know, an icon in some of their maybe in minds and still is the guy that comes to them maybe with he's not going to change anybody's season by telling him to move up in the plate or to hold back and hit the opposite field. Whatever expertise he has to lend, and he did say he was an expert on hitting, he told that to Taylor McGregor, who, by the way, handled that as well as you could have handled a situation in game. You know, a lot of people, it was so relaxed, it was so comfortable, and it was fun. It was a good exchange in the Cub dugout.
She didn't go Jim Gray on him?
She didn't go full. She handled that as, like, I think you want a spring training interview with Sammy Sosa to go. So that was, I think, a big part of, too, how we consumed his presence and really heard what he had to say. I understand all you're saying, Mullin, and I think people have every right to be as hesitant or have those reservations. I think also people, if it's time to move on, as everybody wants to move on, I get that, too, because that's kind of where I found myself yesterday. It was like, all right, Sammy is back. All right, this is kind of fun. Go with it.
This will be a pick six. There's your bowl game.
Are your expectations for the Bulls tonight against the Clippers tempered by an injury report that lists the Vooch as doubtful? Patrick Williams, of course, is still out. Jalen Smith out. Io maybe. What's the desired result in your mind?
Well, I'm just hoping that by noon, Kevin Huerter doesn't come down with a mysteriously sprained ankle so he doesn't play because in fear he's going to get hot. The Bulls, look at this.
It's the guy they got to stop now.
Yeah, he's too good. He's too good. the desired result, it's very difficult to balance the collective outcome and what you're rooting for with these individual type development plans or progress. I want to see Matas. Desired result is Matas 35 minutes, 20 points. The desired result is, yeah, you'd like to see Kevin Huerter have another big game because he seems like a nice guy trying to find his rhythm and regain his shooting stroke. You'd like to see Josh Giddey for the fourth straight game get a double-double and score 20 points and make history, team history. You'd like to see a lot of things, but I don't know what it means big picture-wise because I still don't think that we have a clear picture of what the Bulls are except for stuck in the middle.
Kevin who? I love Chuck Swirsky. I think he does a really good job, brings entertainment to basketball into these airwaves, but I hope Chuck is not dancing tonight on social media.
Is that it? We waited a long time to get that sentence. Another pregnant pause.
We were playing Kevin Huerter. Kevin who?
Yeah. I got to tell you, I am obviously, like a lot of people, tempered. Not by the injury news, but by the situation of this team. I'm ready for them to go back to the six-game losing streak. I enjoyed the one-off, but feel free to... And, you know, it's good news that all the players are out. It's good news that you're going to be playing young guys. Let's play those young guys when it matters most and see how that turns out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be too good.
The young guys will get their look down the stretch.
That's it.
And you probably are more likely to lose by doing that. But I think that's what you're saying, is that's the intended path.
I would say that is exactly.
You're increasing your percentage points.
That's it. That's all you really want. Sadly, but a good loss is a good loss. Go ahead and lose. Well, let's see some of these young guys do something so you feel like there's a future. But, you know, get into the premier position and then you can start winning again. Extra Point is next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Ryan Poles talked about left tackle Braxton Jones having to compete for his starting job.
I think Braxton did a good job. Obviously, you never want guys to go through injuries, and we got to see how he comes on the other side of this. I know everything's been progressing and on schedule, and he's doing a good job with that, and he's been very active with rehabbing and getting back on his feet. So I think, again, that's another spot where it's going to be competition, and you build the best five, or the line with the best five guys. So we'll see how that goes through this offseason and training camp.
Is that at all surprising? Where is that competition most likely to come from? Or is that just something football guys say?
Great questions. I think when you cover the league for a long time, certain things stand out. And one of them, to me, is Jerry Angelo saying back when he was the general manager of the Bears, you can't do everything in one off season. Mm-hmm. As much as fans want you to get your running back and rebuild the defensive line and rebuild the offensive line and get a safety and, oh, by the way, do it all under the cap and do it all with your limited number of draft picks. And I think when I thought about that answer and what Angelo said yesterday, when I'm pondering the Braxton Jones situation, hearing Ryan Poles say there'll be competition there and wondering how close Braxton Jones is to returning. And then looking at overall, PFF isn't everything. Pro Football Focus, they make mistakes in evaluating. It can be a flawed process. But it gives you a ballpark idea about how successful a guy is. He was the 11th best offensive tackle, according to PFF and the rankings. He was a guy that I don't want to say he certainly wasn't spectacular, maybe solid, but he's serviceable at the very least. And I do wonder if he can recover from this injury, if he has a front runner status going into next season, training camp, whatever. And if you can't do everything this offseason, maybe you can live with Braxton Jones. The competition may be coming from Ryan Poles's third-round draft pick.
See, that's my fear. Is that
it's only him.
That it's Kieran Amagaji that he's thinking, you know, hey, I drafted this guy. He's probably going to be ready.
Well, maybe so, but let me hope that it's this. Maybe they still draft a left tackle, and he's plug and play at number 10. Braxton Jones is good enough to trust, so you might move him inside, perhaps, and maybe you've got a good combination and a revamped offensive line that way. My bottom line takeaway is that I don't want to be as negative on Braxton Jones as maybe I started the offseason. I want to keep an open mind to his development and recovery, because I do think they're going to be in a position to need him, and I want to pay respect to the progress he has made since he was a fifth-round draft pick from Southern Utah, I believe, and he's made himself into a serviceable offensive lineman.
Boy, I love talking about the offensive line. Could do it for all six questions, plus the extra point if needed to. But I want to respect Ryan Poles' honesty there, because we don't get that a lot. I mean, he could have easily had said, he's injured, he's recovering, the surgery went fine, we look forward to him being in, you know, the next step. He kind of showed his hand, which he typically doesn't do. He basically said, we're looking for four new guys. Darnell Wright's the only for sure. Okay, here's the thing about, you know, you mentioned, David, about moving the left tackle to guard. Well, why do we assume that he can move from left tackle to guard when he can't, when he supposedly could only be a left tackle? Couldn't be a right tackle. You know, can the right tackle become a left tackle? You know, and maybe today it's overrated. Maybe, again, as the NFL evolves, maybe left tackle, right tackle isn't a thing like it used to be. And it seems like today, it used to be you paid the left tackle and everybody else got the scraps. Today, there's not like we pay centers this, we pay offensive linemen this when they become a free agent. So it's very interesting. I don't think it would work out at guard. If anything, I could see Kieran Imagaji, I could see him being a guard more than him being your left tackle. If he's your left tackle, unless you got like three all-stars coming in here in the middle of that line, I still think that's an issue.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I think that my fear is that I think there's a number of different possibilities. I don't know that he's revealing any state secrets or anything like that, but I think one possibility is in his mind he's thinking, wow, if we could get Will Campbell, we could start him right away at left tackle. Or maybe if we got stuck and we couldn't get enough done, he could start for a year at guard and then move to left tackle. Maybe he could start at left guard and then you move him outside once you know that there are no issues, whatever it might be. What is their collection of the five best guys? So if he's thinking that they're going to draft a tackle, then you obviously want the guy to start and you want to figure out a way to get him on the field as fast as possible. A year ago, he drafted a guy to replace Braxton Jones, right? So it was a third round pick. He doesn't do well in the third round. Kieran Imagaji came injured and was overwhelmed when he finally got his opportunity. Maybe he feels that if he gets a full off season, that kid will be ready to compete for that position. Not necessarily start at that position over Braxton Jones, but compete at that position. Maybe that's still in his mind. That's a possibility. We don't know. When a guy's coming back from injury, you like to say, yes, the timetable's fine, but that can change and a week can turn into a month and all of a sudden you're starting the season and you're without a left tackle, so you got to be careful about how you say that the guy is definitely one of your starters.
You don't want to sound needy.
You do not.
At a position
ever.
You're going to be drafting or signing a free agent.
Yeah, you don't want everyone to know how needy you are. So there's a possibility that he's doing that. I also believe that you can't replace four different guys in 1 year. You can improve the interior of your line in 1 year, and you can give examples of that. But you need some holdovers and you need some guys. And in the back of his head, is he thinking, you know, now that Ryan Bates is going to be back for $4 million, he's definitely a starter on the interior of the line because he'll be done with the concussion. He'll have an off season. I don't know what is going on in his head, but I guarantee you that the prospect of needing four new guys would be a hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a-hum-a And that is part of the problem, too. So I'm sure that they're still keeping a possibility with all these guys. I'm sure they're talking to people, all the guys that are headed to free agency. Hey, you know, don't forget about us. Let us know how things are going. You know, we're interested in bringing you back. Maybe you want to see what is offered out there. I think you burn no bridges and you make no outstanding sort of decisions when you are not forced to. So you bide time. That's my opinion.
Excellent point.
All right. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
I see Darnell Wright very much in the same mold as a Penei Sewell. And we try to do things the last 3 years in Detroit to highlight Sewell in space, highlight him on one-on-one blocks, him against their best defensive linemen. I see the same thing for Darnell. And that's where look forward to getting to know him a little bit more this springtime and in training camp. But what I saw on tape last year showed a lot of promise in terms of the player that he can be.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Wow.
That is very high praise. Penei Sewell, I guess Ben Johnson thinks that Darnell Wright can throw the ball.
Nice arm. And can he carry it? Maybe that's a nice little play to the right tackle around play. So that's high praise. You hope that it's just a coach building up his holdover offensive lineman. The only one we know likely will be penciled in to start. But as you pointed out during the extra point, which some people might not have heard, we know what we were knocked off the air a little bit.
Apparently, you were talking statically.
I think it's my fault. Did I push the wrong button? Is that what you're saying?
Hey, what does this button do?
Oh, no. Well, Braxton Jones is a guy that's going to receive competition at left tackle, according to Ryan Poles. Braxton Jones is also a guy, as I tried to point out, is maybe we should take a second look and maybe he has been serviceable at that position. And as you pointed out, you can't really overhaul everybody. You don't want to have four new starters necessarily. You'll do that if you need to, but maybe you don't need to.
And like Dustin, God bless him, asked the question, hey, could Darnell Wright move to left tackle? Do you need that? It's like, good God, you got so much movement, right?
Right.
At some point.
Have an anchor. Build around it.
Yes.
And I think that's your foundation.
Yes.
Then you build out from there. Maybe you get, you know, you're in your ideal world, you have Trey Smith, Drew Dahlman, maybe Braxton Jones, or maybe Will Campbell, whoever you go for at 10. But the point is that Braxton Jones is a guy recovering from an injury that isn't going to necessarily derail his career. It could obviously make his offseason more arduous, but he can still return in a place where the Bears are in a position to count on him.
And it could impact his season if he's hurt and he doesn't get the offseason and he starts slow. I mean, there's all those possibilities. But, you know, they have lost a lot from that line. There are three free agents that are leaving. Whether you like Coleman Shelton or not as a center, that guy started every game. And he played in every single game last year. And you know, we thought he was a placeholder because Ryan Bates was the guy that they signed. They were going to give him the center position, even though he didn't win it in Buffalo. Who cares? Everyone's got a different idea what that position looks like. Okay. But they got Coleman Shelton starting for a whole year.
Yeah.
Whatever you think of it,
I know.
He is their starter.
But based on what we heard from Ryan Poles, Tevin Jenkins and Pryor, and these are guys that, based on the way that they're talking about the offensive line, I wouldn't necessarily say they sounded nostalgic about saying goodbye to these guys. It's time to move on. Some of them may provide depth pieces if they are affordable and still unsigned at the end of free agency. But I don't think you're going to free agency thinking or counting on having many people who were part of the problem last year. I don't know if that means...
I totally understand that. I'm just talking from a depth perspective.
You need backups.
You need a certain number of these guys. You need starters and you need backups. I would bring back Matt Pryor, because he can play three different positions on the offensive line, and I would count on that ability, and he did fine, I thought. Tevin Jenkins is the hard one, because if he's going to get some money, you know, you really can't afford to have a guy whose health history is as dodgy as
you're
his.
You're right. To me, those are things to worry about later. Yeah. Now, Trey Smith, Drew Dahlman, free agency. You've got $78 million under the cap. In a couple weeks, you go out and spend it. Now, evaluating guys at the combine, Will Campbell, Kelvin Banks, Justin Simmons. These are guys who are potential number 10 overall picks. Focus in on who that could be and if they're good enough to count on as a rookie.
Yeah, and I would imagine that they knew they were going to be drafting some offensive linemen and that their scouts have been preparing for that, and they've got tons of reports and tons of guys throughout the draft that they can get. You should be able to draft one in every round because the depth of the position is that good.
Josh Simmons, the offensive tackle from Ohio State, he's a big man.
He's a large big guy. Man. Yep. Who's the guard from Alabama? That's a good player. There are.
Would you draft a guard that high?
I don't think I'd draft a guard there, but I would be. I mean, who knows what they're planning on doing with that pick? Are they? Do we believe the Bears take every pick they get and stick at it? I don't know if that's been the case. So, who knows? Who knows what they're planning? But we will ask these questions of our guy Brad Biggs next. We'll bring in Big Z and we'll find out his thoughts and what information he learned from the combine yesterday. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Morning, boys. What's going on?